welcome to another episode of Pop Philosophy, my aristocrats. I'm Rowan Cook and I'm joined with my co-host, Jock Gray. That's your name. I forgot. Yeah, I'm sorry. We had an identity crisis, but I got confused with your name, Jock, with the amazing, well-dressed and our new special guest for this evening, Jake Bayless.
Thank you very much for having me on here, guys.
First of all, I want to go over some... just some housekeeping stuff that me and Jock are doing. Come around July, we are looking at expanding this podcast.
We're going into a growth phase.
We're going into a growth phase where I am looking at putting videos on YouTube and hopefully looking at sponsorship with Audible.
So just give us all your money.
So we want your money. We want it now.
We want those dollar bills.
Yeah, we want those dollar bills, y'all. We've also set up a Patriot page at present. So if you donate us $3, that's enough for a coffee, we will shout your name at the end of every episode. Only $3. Do you think that's a good deal, Jake?
Man, that's probably the best deal I've ever heard since, I know, Chicken Feed.
Yeah. Chicken Feed.
That's how good that bargain is.
And I mean, that's all you need.
That's all you need. It's bargains with a smile. Like that.
So we got a not chicken feed. I really want Chicken Feed to come back.
Yeah, so it's been too long. You know, I've been working with Russell and a few other guys who work on the Launceston meme page. Mm-hmm. So my life is constantly affiliated with Chicken Feed and other Launcestonian.
Are you one of the secret members of the Launceston memes?
I can neither confirm nor deny that, but I have been known to supply some content to that page. But I don't want to say which one of the moderators that I can or could be. But
so I've been doing some like Illuminati stuff at present and like trying to piece together all of like who's working for the Launceston memes, like, and okay, so I know you're in on it now, so you're on my list.
On the list,
you're on the list of conspiracy theories.
Who have you? Who else is on the list?
Doug Schindler. Oh,
yeah, you're really curious about saying his name there. Weren't you? You can't even say Jock, but I won't even say Doug's name.
I can't. I'm scared, man. I'm really scared, you know, because it's a conspiracy. Oh, shit.
Sorry, Doug, for not being able to say your name, by the way.
Actually, so we've talked roughly about this on the podcast a few times, and me and Jock, we've become a little bit obsessed with Alex Jones at present. And I hear you have a bit of an obsession with Alex Jones. What's that all about?
I just find the man entertaining. I don't know what it is about him, but there's just, he's got some sort of energy that just draw, it might be interdimensional, intertransmensional energy. It's coming from somewhere. I can't fully explain it, but there's some of the stuff he says, it's just so out there, but it might have a bit of truth to it. That's the thing that makes me so interested. Like, it's so out there, but what if it's true? What if Bigfoot go through different dimensions?
What about if he does know about an interdimensional vampire and pedophile conspiracy?
Do you think there's any clout to that?
Well, Obama runs that. We all know that.
Oh my God!
Why is it that we've never seen Obama's birth certificate? Hillary's a lizard person. We all know that.
So is Obama a lizard person or an interdimensional pedophile?
No, they're all lizard people. Everyone's living in an interdimensional travel. The entire government. It's protecting you from yourselves, but also trying to confuse you to the fact that 7-Up and Mountain Dew are actually the same drink.
Oh, shit.
I'm not supposed to tell everyone this. I'm sorry. I had a steak in the morning, did some push-ups. I'm feeling a bit aggressive.
Don't know why Alex Jones was in here. That was weird.
Wow, where'd he come from?
Yeah. He's gone now in this fantastic hotel room.
So
the astral projected into your mind just then.
I was physically taken over by the spirit of the not-yet-deceased Alex Jones. Unless he does decease in the time that this podcast comes out.
That's an interesting question. I want to know what Alex Jones is doing right now.
Just my voice was coming out of his. He was doing InfoWars, and all of a sudden he starts cracking jokes like me. He's like, hey, my house got egged by hipsters. Wagagagagoo.
Wow, shit. Sorry, I'm just playing around with the sound and stuff. So, Alex Jones, where were we, Jock? Could you just take over for a minute? My just got tired for a minute.
We started talking about Alex Jones.
You asked me about my fascination with Alex Jones. What's your guys' like fascination? Because I started really getting into it while watching him on the Joe Rogan podcast and stuff. Because I heard bits and pieces of this sort of like crazy guy, but never truly like watched him. But once I got to sit down for 3 hours, and I tell you what, that's an experience. Having just he gets completely baked and he's talking about Pizzagate.
Pizzagate.
That's code for gay sex.
Oh!
With Obama running the secret pedophile rings behind and like inside pizza stores in New York. Have you guys heard about that?
No.
Oh, man, get into that. Pizzagate. Look into it. I don't want to go too deep, but Pizzagate.
I basically said last night roughly look on Facebook I commented on Russell Redman, the Launceston memes guy, part of the conspiracy, and we said something about Alex Jones, and we're thinking about, well, I just roughly put it out there, we want to do an episode where we look at the philosophy of Alex Jones and see what he's about.
Oh, that's a tough order, man.
Yeah, it's a tough order, but I'll briefly touch on it now. So what do you actually think Alex Jones's like philosophy is? Do you think he's all about conspiracies, or do you think he's actually generally concerned about like American politics and people?
I actually think he could be genuinely concerned in his own strange, deranged way.
do you think he has, do you actually think Alex's Jones' heart is actually in the right place, even though he's a mad, bloody, crazy conspiracy person? But do you think he actually genuinely cares about the American people?
I think he did. I feel like at times he could have been, a Stephen Colbert type, like a very satirical representation of that medium, but I feel that he's gone so far down the rabbit hole. Mm. Like he's opened 17 different sub forums and Reddit. He's got all these different things. He is deep down the rabbit hole now that he's sort of forgotten that he was once this character and has now become Alex, quote unquote, Alex Jones, which is this sort of guy that if it sounds even vaguely out there, then he's going to invest his time into it and try to prove that it's real.
Yeah, he's kind of convinced himself of his own theories.
Yeah.
Through all these, just amazing feats of mental gymnastics. I do not know how he does it.
How he can believe that Trump is going to be a great president, that's the biggest mental gymnastic of them all. Because he had Trump on his show, the very next day after Trump was inaugurated. Mm-hmm. He had there, he was just like, Mr. President, I believe you're going to do a great job. That previous administration full of
He's not alone either. There's millions of people who think he's a great president.
That's the scary thing.
There's a lot of people, but the people that usually do think he's, is a good president, though, are like Americans that have lost their jobs and stuff. And I've said this countless times and stuff. They want the bulldog, in the American parliament to sort of shake up the establishment and stuff. And people like Alex Jones, they give crazy people like Trump a voice, that actually go forward in that. So it's all part of this sort of political vacuum, battering ram, the keep going forward. Now, if you view it from that sort of argumentative point of view, Trump is actually quite a good president. So
do you think Alex Jones is part of the conspiracy? He's become part of the conspiracy that he originally fought against?
Actually gone into?
Yeah, now he's full support of Trump.
He's fighting against a conspiracy. He's integrated himself with the conspiracy, and he doesn't know it.
Yes, he's gone so deep into it now. He's part of it, but he doesn't know.
This is like Saw or something, where you go investigating this murder, right? Mm. But then you actually become part of the murder. You all become part of this bigger game, this chess playing field. Yes, I think he has actually gone so down the rabbit hole. Now he's in this interdimensional world of politics and vampire conspiracies, and there's no way out. He's stuck. He's stuck in that paradigm.
Yeah, and he can't go back now. He's gone so far. He cannot go back. Could you imagine him saying
maybe I was wrong. Maybe Bigfoot isn't real.
Yeah.
Could you imagine how maybe the earth isn't. Isn't flat.
You can't go back. Once you've said it, now it's out there. So now he just keeps going further and further. It's like sex. You try that one thing. You're like, oh, maybe I'll try that. It's a bit out there. And then the next thing you know, you're hanging from a ceiling. Everyone's wearing that. You've just gone too far.
I was just going to say, it's kind of like it's only going to end either when his head explodes on live TV or he just moves out into the middle of the forest and lives as a hermit.
Yeah, there's only one way. He's going to end like
a whole bunch of protein powder. And
yeah, he'll just end up like in the forest in Japan. And who's that guy? Paul?
Logan Paul. Logan Paul.
Yeah, Logan Paul will find him.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say which forest, but you know, if you know that, you'll know what I'm on about.
Oh, yeah, we got the Logan Paul thing. I love to actually do another philosopher. I love to do Jock. Anyhow, before we actually get into the meat of this podcast and stuff, I want to talk a bit about you, Jake. So you're a comedian from Launceston.
Yep.
What else do we need to know about you? Are you, apart from being a conspiracy Launceston memer?
Well, that's pretty much how my life runs. Just runs memes, conspiracy, comedy. I occasionally work as a laundry technician.
Yep.
which is a very fancy job. Mm-hmm. It basically means I fold sheets and wash towels.
So, is there a technical way to fold the sheets, though? Could you break this down?
So, but what's the price of a laundry technician from like a normal laundry person?
Well, you see,
are there technicians and engineers?
Originally, I say laundry technician because when I went to Thailand in like 2011, I met up with this guy. I'm like, hey man, what are you doing? What do you do? Like, cause he was from Australia, and he's like, I'm a medical technician.
Mm?
I'm like, oh, that sounds real professional. And he's like, it's just a fancy way of saying like male nurse, so no one makes fun of me.
Mm.
And since I work at a hotel folding sheets and stuff, laundry bitch isn't exactly the classiest way to introduce yourself, especially if you want to impress a woman. So laundry technician, that's fancy. That's like, oh, he, what's he doing in the laundry? Is he fixing things? Things with his hands? Oh, he must be good with his hands compared to, oh, he's a birch.
Actually, one thing I'm sort of finding really weird at present, so you know that I used to be a cheesemaker, like the classic cheesemaker jokes.
Oh, man. They're gouda.
Yeah. I don't want to go there. But what I found out, if I tell people like I'm studying journalism, people don't care as much. But if I say that I've had experience in cheesemaking, people just flip their shit. They're like, oh, my God, that's crazy. You're a cheesemaker. Like, what's the actual process? So I think it's so surprising because I actually find the actual process of folding sheets quite an interesting job, really. That's something that not many people actually do. So
yeah, it's quite a relaxing sort of thing. I'm in my own sort of environment.
Do you find
it
meditative?
I do. It's weird because you've got the sound of the dryers going off in the laundry. So there is all this noise, but it's a weird sense of calm as well. And it is the best thing at like 6 a.m, like on a cold winter's day. You go in, you just chuck on like a load of towels in the dryer. And for the next like 40 minutes when you're folding them, it's just nothing but warm towels.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
It's like you're constantly cuddled by a blanket.
And just before we run out of this first section, I also just want to touch on Insider as well. So can we just talk about Insider and how long has that been going on for? And
Insider comedy started last year around April by a man known as Ron Cook. I think he just wanted to have his own name brought up.
Just once. But I swiftly gave it over to you guys. But
So we have to really thank you for starting this up. So we're having our first anniversary show in 2 days on April 11th, which should be fun. And then we have another show coming up in May, which is the second Wednesday of the month. That's going to have a lot of great acts coming from Hobart, including Rob Breslin and a few Launceston comedians as well, Andy Collings, Andrew Starry, Ned Townsend, Doug, whose name I can't pronounce.
He's going to become
a running joke now. He's going to listen to this and say, Seema. He's going to become like Heisenberg from Breaking Bad. Like, say my name.
Just recently, I've noticed since I've started taking like a sort of a medication lately, I've been losing concentration in the most weirdest places. Like, usually I'm pretty pinpoint. I know where I put my keys. I know where I put everything. But I've just been forgetting everything. And I hate it. So
the worst is you can't even blame it on weed or anything.
I know. I can only blame our healthcare system. Damn it! Yeah, so
slams fist angrily on table.
Damn it!
We'll add that sound effect in later.
But I'm really happy to see that you and Daniel have actually taken over Insider, and you've taken on my sort of advice I gave you. Put my vision out there to you guys, and you guys have just ran with it. So I'm really happy with that. I couldn't really do much in the end. So,
well, as I said, like we're glad that you like started off as well, because I'm a very lazy person. I barely ever start anything like off the ground. But I'll continue something that's going successful. And you started a few successful shows, and I've taken that, made it a little bit better, tweaked it a little bit, and made a bit of a profit for myself. Not much. I'm not paying the rest of you comedians.
Oh,
that's a joke. It's not really. But it is.
But I look forward to seeing how the Red Brick Road Cider House, you know, works with you guys and further endeavours and stuff. I would, you know, seriously, you know, even though I'm not part of the Insider Room, I would love to see that room just, you know, get more cred. I'd like to see more comedians in Launceston. So that's definitely something I support. And if you are in Launceston, I would definitely suggest, if it's on and you're around, go see Insider Comedy when it's on. So whenever it was on.
Yep, the second Wednesday of every month. Come and check it out. Only $5 entry. Normally starts at 7:30. Normally have about 8 to 10 comedians on the lineup. So definitely come in, check it out. Great ciders. Mm. Yeah, Red Brick Road Cider House and Insider Comedy.
Yeah, and get a nice bloody rosé off Corey as well. Those things will roll you. Jesus Christ. Yeah.
Like the Facebook page as well. But tell you what, doesn't Corey just look like the third Mario brother?
Oh, doesn't he? Doesn't he? I just want to hug him sometimes as well. He's just like a really huggable sort of personality.
Yeah.
Oh, Corey.
He's just got a happy face.
But actually, I just want to touch on something. If you want to see the best lookalike of David Koch, go meet Daniel Walker. I've never seen anyone that... Not Daniel Koch.
David Koch.
Oh, my God. What's wrong with me?
I think we mentioned it earlier. It's fine. We'll edit that out.
Yeah, that's all right. Anyhow, we better go into our second section of our podcast called Plato's Cave, where we will be reviewing the movie South Park, Bigger, Longer, and Uncut.
Once upon a time, a man drew a little mouse. And his animated vision enchanted children of all ages. This summer, that man will be spinning in his grave.
Oh, why, God, why?
Paramount Pictures and Warner Brothers present... South Park.
This is going to be the best movie ever.
Hey! Invading.
Eric, did you just say the F word?
Did he say the S word?
Young man, did you just say the Q word?
We have to get you children off of foul language.
Your theater.
The machinery of the V-chip emits a small shock of electricity whenever an obscenity is uttered.
You're late, Cartman. I had to ride my back here. My behind is killing me.
You're behind?
I have to stay behind because I get shocked if I say...
Kyle Broslovsky.
This is sweet.
Stan Marsh.
Where do they come up with this stuff?
Eric Cartman.
That movie has rocked my fragile little mind.
Kenny McCormick. Chef.
Have you ever heard of the Emancipation Proclamation?
I don't listen to hip-hop.
Satan.
Is sex the only thing that matters to you?
Yeah! I love you.
And Big Gay Al.
You big fillies!
On June 30th...
Throw the switch, Mr. Garrison.
Hey, I'm supposed to be anonymous.
It's not just another day in the park.
Son, we accidentally replaced your heart with a baked potato. You have about 3 seconds to live.
South Park, Bigger, Longer, and Uncut.
Tell them we'll have punch and pie.
We're not going to have punch and pie.
Might be a comment if they think we have punch and pie.
Ooh, and we are back, and that was a clip from South Park, Bigger, Longer, and Uncut.
Oh, that was hilarious.
Yeah, it was. We just watched the whole entire film.
Just then,
in real time, true podcasting form. No editing tricks at all.
No, completely professional.
Completely professional. Yeah, because that's what we are. We're professionals.
Yes, professional suits.
Yeah, and we're very bureaucratic about the whole entire process.
Top hats.
We have like a pen in our lapel. Just ready.
Oh, it's very nice to be here, boys.
You like my monocle? Oh, I like your monocle. Did you just watch South Park?
Oh, yes, I did. Did you just watch South Park? Bigger, Longer, Uncut?
What do you think of the word fuck?
I think it's hilarious.
Oh, my God. I can't believe they said it. Yeah, I've already put a warning at the start of this podcast, but there will be some language in this episode. So we can say the word fuck, shit, and cunt.
Yeah,
and get away with it and not have to worry about any issues. Because this movie, I don't think you can get away with not expressing those, you know, naughty, naughty words. Have any of you guys got any thoughts on the F word, C word? I'll actually go to Jock first and then I'll go on to Jake.
Well, personally, I love the swear words and I use them probably too much. It might be a bit of a personal flaw for me. But I don't really have any particularly strong feelings about them. Like, it's not really insulted me that much when people swear.
Because I know when I hear the C word, right, I get... I don't know, there's something about the actual word that actually really kind of puts me on edge. I don't like the word
cunt. I used to get, like, focused on the C word a bit. But then I got a job as a fisherman, and it was in every second sentence.
Yeah.
I got used to it after that.
Yeah. I'm still kind of against it. And what about you, Jake? You have heard some naughty words being in the stand-up comedy world.
Yeah, I've heard a few choice words and stuff. See, with the word, I know cunt can be a very sort of impactful word. And you just say it, you immediately sort of like retract and stuff. But it can also like, it can be a very beautiful word. I like it. It rolls off the tongue very well. Cunt. It's very.
Oh, I see. You're a cunt.
Oh, look at this cunt right here.
Oh, yes.
It's just the most satisfying like word for when you stub your toe.
Yeah, cunt.
Can I just bring it back to our talk about Alex Jones before? You know, one word that I'm really liking from the extreme right is the word cuck. Have you cuck? Yeah. You know, I've only just heard it recently. Have you heard the word cuck?
Maybe.
Yeah.
Don't stab myself in here. Yeah. Yeah, continue, Rowan. Go on.
Well, so basically, I heard it from our friend Kyle just recently. He's very sort of anti-left wing kind of guy, and he was referring to people like me as a cuck. You know, for supporting, you know, sort of like feminist. You know.
I wonder, so what is a cuck?
Do you know what a cuck is?
No.
Okay, so you don't know what a cuck is. Okay, no. So on porn videos and stuff, there's a sort of subsection of pornography where there's men that watch their wives and partners having sex with someone else, and they can't do anything, and they just sort of jerk them off in the corner.
The word has its origins right back to, you know, where, you know, a man who lets his woman, you know, go out on the town and fraternize with other men was considered a cuck. You know, he's being sort of
You
know,
it's like a cuckold, pretty much.
Yeah, like that's gotcha. Where it came from, cuckold.
Wow,
yeah. To be cuckolded is to be a cuck.
I never knew such history about the word cuck.
If this was a video, this is where like a star would appear, and you see the more you know.
No, yeah, I know. I just had that as well.
This is going to be the most educational podcast.
I used to get really sort of hung up on the word cunt, as we said before, but also like the F word. I know I can use the word fuck this and fuck that just in every single day language, and I don't really actually like using the word fuck so often sometimes, but it's so integrated in my language from the culture, which I would say
Australian dialect in general, you can't get away from.
Well, you go down to the pub and stuff, it's like, yeah, there's the fucking bloody rah rah rah. So
I have a weird thing, like I'm fine with swearing and stuff in like a normal conversation and stuff like this, like how we're talking, I just say fucking mate and cunt and all shit there like that. But when it comes to stuff like film, theatre and comedy, I kind of have an issue when it comes to the way swearing is used. It seems like a lot, it just is thrown in there just for the impact, and a lot of people just use words just for that without it sort of...
just for the shock value.
Yeah, exactly.
And but not portraying a real meaning.
Yeah, and that can take it away from watching a performance as well, but which is something that you don't notice like in Big, Longer and Uncut.
I
mentioned the game then, but no.
Well,
the movie.
Movie does a really good job at sort of introducing the F word, right? Like, it's like this really nice word, and then these kids are actually going to a movie. And South Park, I've heard this on another philosophy podcast, but they were talking about the movie South Park was a really big meta sort of analysis of its own franchise, where at the time the movie got released, there was heaps of, like, controversy and arguments about, you know, South Park using the word shit and asshole on the actual television show. So what this movie actually did, they were like, right, if that's what we're going to, you know, be known as, let's go all the way with it, you know, with a parody of ourselves in the song Shut Your Fucking Face, Uncle Fucker.
Yeah, because Terrence and Phillip, like the Canadian superstars in the movie, they were originally brought in the first episode of season 2 of South Park, which was a big April Fool's joke, which was supposed to figure out who Carbon's mum was and stuff. But originally they created those characters because they were getting so many complaints from people who just said that South Park was just a show where people swore and made fart jokes. Mm. And so in their show, they created another show that was just about dick and fart jokes where parents could talk about that and had problems with that. Yeah, so it is a very meta sort of weird show.
But do you think, like, Terrence and Phillip could almost be characterizations of Trey Parker and Matt Stone in their own movie, like sort of taking the piss out of themselves a bit?
Yeah, definitely. I can definitely see that. Because Terrence and Phillip, they don't have a massive message in their movies. They just want to do what they want to do and be entertaining, which is what they want. Yeah. But it's everyone else that's saying you can't do this and you can't do that, which is kind of what Trey Stone and Matt Parker are like. They're not going out with big messages. They're entertaining, and it's everyone else that's having the problem.
Yeah.
Which is the thing the movie's about.
Yeah, I'll just look at this sort of meta-analysis. You know, the movie is like one big meta-analysis on itself. So I never actually saw this sort of analysis of like Trey Parker and Matt Stone actually being manifested through the characters of Terrence and Phillip. And I find that sort of observation quite exhilarating. One of the other things I want to sort of touch on with this, like, so South Park in the recent seasons have gotten more, I would say sort of more political in their sort of progression of the actual TV show. And at the beginning of the show, at the beginning of the movie, South Park and Bigger, Longer Uncut, it seemed as though like Trey Parker and Matt Stone were also having a go at the sort of political powers that were sort of quite big at the time. I think it was like George Bush. Who was in power at time?
Bill Clinton, actually.
Yeah, it was Bill Clinton. And there was like talks about going into well, they were already talking about going into Iraq at the time, but nothing was actually being said. But it seemed as though there was a lot of unnecessary wars going in.
Yeah, there's definitely a lot of stuff going in on the Middle East as well. Even back then, there were military planes that were like bombing like hospitals and schools in Afghanistan and Iran and Iraq.
Yeah. What year was the movie actually released? Because it wasn't
1998, 1999.
What year was the Columbine shooting?
It would have been roughly about the same year, probably 97, 98.
Yeah, 97, 98. Because I remember just sort of going back to another film, Bowling for Columbine, Marilyn Manson, in one of the interviews there sort of touches on that there seemed to be like an excuse for America to use any excuse in the media to sort of go forward and blame the blame on anyone. So whether it be like toothpaste or, you know, someone saying naughty words or rock stars. And it seemed like Trey Parker and this were also trying to, you know, say that there's more important things at stake than kids learning naughty words, you know. Like there's these silly wars going on that start over very silly sort of issues. Yeah. Do you think there's any sort of collateral to that?
Well, I think it's still like happening nowadays. Like you look at everything that's happening now, unfortunately, with all the incidents in America, with the recent shootings at the YouTube
YouTube headquarters,
YouTube headquarters and stuff, and also the attacks at the schools and stuff. There's a lot of members of the American political government who will like see incidents like this and use it to drive their own agenda, which is exactly the same thing that's happening in the movie with, like, Sheila Bravlosky. She takes this one little thing of Kenny who sees something that happens in the movie. He sees one of the characters light a fart on fire, imitates it, and he burns to death. She takes that incident and completely goes in the direction of we're going to stop naughty language, not violence and stuff, which is the thing that could have caused his death. It was,
I was just sort of thinking, just bring up stuff in my house, thinking about like ISIS and stuff right now. And one of the ways that sort of ISIS recruit people is through like online. And basically what ISIS do, you can actually look, compare it to Sheila Bravlosky off South Park, where they sort of take people's like ideologies that may even have a good sort of background to it, like even a good message to it, but then totally make it completely absurd and arbitrary. So instead of it being a war on dirty words, it's a war against Canada. And they're just using this sort of political, like, it's just a political motive at the end of the day. So
it's also interesting to like look at like with all like the big messages that they have and stuff. And it's interesting that they chose to do like a musical for this movie.
I was actually going to touch on this because you've done a degree in theatre, haven't you? So was that also half the reason why you chose this movie as well, to actually look at the narrative of the musical style of the movie? This is more for my own.
Oh no, I just really like South Park: Bigger, Longer, Uncut. It's probably one of my favorite TV shows of all time. And so like, get a chance to talk about the movie. I feel like it has some interesting things to talk about. So that's the main reason I chose that.
Yeah, okay.
Musical's fun as well. But
yeah, because as a musical, I think the movie works amazingly as a musical.
I don't think the movie would be as impactful as it did if it wasn't for, like, because you kind of look at it as the messages that they're trying to convey, but they've got all these big jazzy, catchy show tunes, well, which bring you in. You kind of forget about the message or what they're trying to say.
It kind of also reminded me they're also taking the formula from Disney and, like, sort of having a hit go at that, because it's a cartoon, right? And how does, like, Disney actually manufacture their movies, right? Through musical. Well, that's how they used to. It was like a very musical sort of orientated thing that followed these specific beats. And again, I think there's another sort of meta sort of analysis that Trey Parker and Matt Stone were really trying to drive in. You know, maybe they were trying to say something about consumerism and production. That's probably a bit of a stretch, but the other thing too, like Trey Parker and Matt Stone, they love theatre and stuff. They like the Book of Mormon that they've just released. Have you seen that?
No, I listened to like a lot of the songs, but I've never actually seen the show live, unfortunately.
I really want to see the Book of Mormon. What do you think about the musical elements? Because I'm not much into musicals per se, but South Park is probably one of the few movies where I'll say it works, you know, so.
Yeah, I've never, like, musicals have never really you know, hit the spot for me. But I do like South Park Bigger, Longer Uncut, and I think it was probably more of just a way to kind of take this theme that's, you know, these kind of short little skits of about 20 minutes and combine it all into one movie and sort of make it accessible for a mass audience.
Yeah, and plus also bringing it back to the swearing as well, I feel like the musical side of thing actually sort of toned down that sort of swearing, because I think if you just said fuck, 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 you know, constantly at the start, I think audiences probably wouldn't be as accepting of the movie.
Yeah, but they sort of just retract it and just sort of think, well, this is just derogatory humour.
Yeah.
But, yeah, with the added element of music and stuff, it's as that extra thing of entertainment as well. What do you guys think of, like near the end of the film, when, like, Sheila Bravlosky is talking to the massive troops and everybody, and they're having this massive USO show before celebrating and going into, like, destroying and attacking Canada?
This kind of brings us back to our other philosophy podcast on Apocalypse Now, like how they have these USO shows just before they go on often bomb people for these, like, stupid arbitrary reasons. And there are people that are more concerned about surviving, eating rice every single day, than actually being entertained, you know, for the sake of war. I don't know, maybe I'm looking into it too much there, but I do think that was another sort of commentary from Trey Parker and Matt Stone saying that they'll have America just loves entertainment. They're a big consumer of it. And even before they go into war, there's another sort of incentive, you know, to actually make money off the entertainment business.
Yeah, there's a massive thing of them looking at, like, glorifying war and stuff. And it's like, come and join the war. Yeah, you can fight some Canadians. Yeah. You can get all this. Enjoy it while having a fantastic USO show.
Yeah, yeah.
That's like, when you think of the thing of, you're going to go and kill somebody. That's such a massive juxtaposition.
I kind of see the USO show as sort of being like a symbol for, you know, this American culture. Like, you know, going to war, destroying things, it's all okay so long as it's in the name of this kind of American culture. You know, and it's all about, you know, sort of just painting over something that's completely wrong with this sort of pretty brush and you know, making it look like it's all okay when at the core of it, it's just complete absurdity.
The other thing too, I was thinking where they got like that sort of black and white footage and stuff, and there was definitely some commentary about like World War II, you know, like definitely stands out, you know.
There's, I think, a part when it, if you spot a Canadian, remember to take him to one of these concentration camps. Did we say concentration camps? We meant happy camps. And yeah, that's a massive thing of World War II.
But the thing with World War II, and just like sort of analysing it from the comedy world too, I don't really like it when people use like World War II as an analogy in that, but in this movie, it works for me, you know, because it's all about being absurd and just taking things to the most extreme. Like, how extreme can you get it? So it works. But this question is directed towards you, Jake. Do you have any sort of issues with comedians or people in the comedy business using World War II analogies?
No, I have a hilarious World War II joke that I won't say on this podcast now.
That's totally fair.
But, like, it all depends, like, about context and stuff.
Mm.
And that's the thing about words as well. It's all about the context. Mm. Everyone should be able to have the right to express themselves and be free and say whatever you say. But on saying that, you do have to deal with the consequences of whatever you say. That's the one thing that a lot of people don't understand. They feel like they can say whatever they want. Mm. Like, yeah, you can, but there's a but to every situation.
Yeah, so you don't really want to go walking into a synagogue and telling Holocaust jokes.
No, God, no. But at the same time, like, it's your right to do that, but let it be known. You probably shouldn't do that, and let it be known you're probably going to get your ass kicked for doing that, and you probably deserve it, but that's your right. It's their right to kick your ass.
Yeah, you know, we've been talking a lot about free right, you know, freedom of speech lately, and I'm sort of like a bit contentious, like, I'll just throw this question out there. Do you guys think there should be, like, control of speech? Do you think there should be laws imposed? So you should just allow people?
No.
Why?
Yeah. Like, it's just going to... Where does it end? Mm. I know that sounds like a silly thing, but once you stop saying, like, oh, we can't say this, I'm like, yeah, but what about... There are always circumstances. There's always the exception to the rule.
Mm.
So there's no way that I would ever support just, like, we're banning certain things.
Mm.
Like, we can't say this word, we can't say that. Because, well, if anything, that's just going to make it worse once someone finally does say it.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm definitely there because, you know, I just think it's like the sort of founding, it's the beginning of sort of, you know, the Constitution as we know it type of thing. And without free speech, you've got nothing. You know, you need to defend, like, your ideology. And sure, there are consequences where people will say terrible things in bad areas and stuff, but, you know, there's negative and positive liberties that come, you know, with this certain freedom. So
it's an interesting topic, looking at the movie and stuff. Like, when should you possibly introduce, like, a younger child, like your own child or a nephew or blah blah blah, to the things of language and swearing and stuff? Because I've been watching South Park since it came out. As I said, about would have been the 97 the series started.
Yep.
So yeah, I would have been 8 at the time. And nowadays, like, sure, when I first started watching South Park, I said fuck. I called somebody, like, a prostitute.
Not
that I knew what it was, just heard on South Park. But nowadays, like, I don't care. I don't want to use these words now because, like, I've gone through that period.
I do think there's been a sort of a dilution in, like, kids actually using swear words and stuff. Like, it's not so much a big issue anymore. I think as a society, we've kind of bypassed that sort of issue. Well, in Western society anyway, where it's not so much now we're arguing about naughty words and stuff, but now we're actually arguing about what... Well, we seem to be arguing about more, like, I'll say this sort of lightly, like left-wing sort of things, like, should I call them she or he and stuff. And this sort of discussion has gone... It's got more intelligence in one way, but I think it's also got a bit sillier in another.
I've just dropped all, like I think it's pronouns and stuff like that. Like,
have you really?
Or? Yeah, there's no, like, I'll never say, I don't say he, she, dude, or anything like that. I go, hey, what's up, how's it going? Yeah. I refuse to acknowledge any sort of, like, pronouns now. Because I'm not playing that game. I'm not going to get myself in trouble.
Really?
I'm going to avoid that all the way. That's my choice. I'm expressing myself by not expressing myself.
Oh, I'm impressed by your sort of dedication because I still call people he and she, but there's not any intent behind it. But
it just makes sense. It's easier. Plus, I'm lazy. It's like, hey.
Yeah.
Instead of, hey, man.
Or, yeah, yeah.
Hey, girl. What's going on?
Oh, hey, dude. I call people dude for whatever reason. So that's...
Plus, no one can get angry with you because you're, like, exactly the same with everybody. Mm. Hey. Mm. Hey. Hey, not that creepy. That last one was really, hey.
Hey, how you doing?
I shouldn't be looking in your eyes, Jock, as I say that.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Oh, those big, beautiful eyes. Jesus.
There's a bloody spa behind you.
That's where we're going to end up by the end of the night. Jay in the spa.
Have you ever been, like, at uni and stuff when you throw down? I know you're a guy that likes a good debate, Jock. Have you ever found that, you know, people throw the, you can't, the sort of structuralist, progressive sort of argument where you can't call people he or she, have you ever had to encounter that? Has ever...
No, I've never encountered it actually in my real life. Like, I've heard about all this stuff going on online, you know, over in America and stuff, but I've never actually met someone who said, oh, you know, you can't refer to that person as he, or, you know, I'm offended that you call me dude.
Yeah. I wonder if it's like kind of like this sort of echo chamber effect that we're getting in our society where you're online and you stay with, like, certain political groups. And I think the actual South Park movie does sort of briefly touch on this because, you know, Sheila Broflovsky, she creates her own, like, sort of echo chamber for all the parents and stuff about not saying dirty words. But then the moment someone comes in with an argument about, you know, free speech or whatever, no, we don't want to hear about it, get out. Like, this is, we are completely right, rah, rah. So, I think
you know, a bit like Sheila Lebrowski, you know, we online we have this kind of image, you know, we're sold this idea that there's this, you know, liberal kind of, you know, movement coming along and, you know, we can't say all these words anymore and, you know, it's a whole huge cultural phenomenon. When in reality, it's actually just a very small kind of outspoken sect of people
who
don't actually speak for most of, you know, the normal everyday people.
They are the ones that make the loudest noise.
They're the fundamentalists. But, you know, the problem with fundamentalists, though, you know, like, though they are very small, the moment they can get power, like, they can just, they can do a lot of damage with even a very small amount of evidence or argument.
Well, what I see happens, Pauline Hanson.
Well, yeah, well, Pauline Hanson's quite fascinating, you know, so as in that. But, like, Donald Trump is another good example too. Like, I don't think he can bypass that, where he just found, like, a very sort of niche sort of argument and just totally exploited that, you know. So, like, jobs and growth that all it's politicians...
Gonna be, it's going to be huge.
It's going to be absolutely incredible. It's
going to
be
absolutely tremendous.
It's going to be fantastic. Everyone loves it. Everyone loves my huge
Trump
dance.
War.
Yeah. I've never heard of Stormy Daniels. I don't know what you're on about.
Yeah. Oh, just give me some kofefe. Can we get kofefe? So, now, there was a few other sort of things in the movie that we wanted to touch on. Not so much about freedom of speech and all of that, but you want to touch on this, Jock, about Satan being gay and Saddam Hussein. Now, did you actually, do you actually think there's something to be touched on there, or?
I kind of thought just like the fact of Satan being gay was taking a bit of a jab at like the religious right, you know, how they demonize, you know, homosexuality as like a product of the devil.
Yeah.
So, you know, therefore it would make logical sense that Satan would be gay. If he is the product, if homosexuality is the product.
But the other thing too, like if you want to get into the sort of, you know, is evil really evil sort of argument as well, like Satan isn't portrayed as the bad guy in the movie. Like he's actually the good guy just trying to fulfill a prophecy. It's actually Saddam Hussein
is the bad
using him.
Yeah. I think they even like he even has like a line in one of his songs, like it's good... It's good to be evil sometimes. You know, well, good, there can be no evil, so it must be good to be evil sometimes.
Yeah.
And you kind of go, yeah, well, that's true. If, like, if unfortunately, it's and it's sad that it's come to this, they're like, if there weren't acts like 9/11, if there weren't attacks like the Columbine shooting and stuff, do you think, like, I don't feel like there would have been such moments where, like, America and different countries and stuff would come together. So that's one of the... I feel like that's one of those things where there might be good and evil there. Like, it's like, do you really think America would be as strong as a country without 9/11?
What you've just touched on here is a political theory called constructivism, and I consider myself a constructivist. So do you know much about this, Jake?
No.
All right, I'm just going to give you a crash course in political philosophy constructivism, there's an item, right? That beer... It just sits there, right? But the moment you drink that, there's an action that happens and therefore you'll get a little bit drunk and then you'll go off and you'll probably do silly if you drink too much, you know? It's just sort of like the cause of an event, you know? The object causes something. Like, look at Donald Trump. That causes something.
World War III, I believe it's called.
World War III, possibly. But if you look at, like, September 11, right, then I actually wrote an essay on this, like, what actually happened after September 11... When that actual event happened, what America actually did, what George Bush actually did, was he actually gained, like, a bunch of sympathy from other nations and that. And that's what led on into the 2002 Iraq War later on. But if it wasn't for that action, it's regardless of whether it's about oil or whatever, but it was actually about the emotions, you know, contained around that. And that actually changed political policies within the UN, and then the UN, actually jumped... supported America, even though America funds most of the money for the UN. So, yes, definitely. Without, you know, things like... Without the Columbine shooting, I don't think we would have got the South Park movie. So you can actually... put, you know, political theory into that, into the creation of sort of media. Actually, here's another sort of interesting thing to bring it back to movies and stuff, but after 9/11 and that, we saw like an increase of movies where they actually changed their narrative. So instead of being like overly patriotic and that, we actually saw movies, war movies that got smarter. There was one called The Green Zone that came out with Matt Damon, which that was all about the hidden, you know, weapons of mass destruction. And there was another one called Zero Dark Thirty, which was all about the hunting of bin Laden, though that movie wasn't so much about the killing of bin Laden, was more about the sort of ethics of how to actually torture terrorists and stuff. But we saw a swing in Hollywood where I don't think they got more patriotic, but they got more sort of argumentative, and, you know, actors started putting money where their mouth was. So, yeah, I definitely think...
Yeah, because I think, like, the cause was, like, was brought to them. Some people could say, like, this whole thing started by, like, America coming to Iran and Iraq and putting military bases on Muslim and and holy land and stuff like that. So, technically, it all goes back to that. But it's weird to think that that these certain things, like 9/11 and stuff, without them, how everything could have changed.
Yeah.
Maybe George Bush wouldn't have won in 2002.
Yeah.
He wouldn't have garnered that sympathy as well.
Yeah.
And that thing has affected all the media throughout the years and stuff, and has definitely left a political... I feel like since 2001, a lot of TV shows have that political, at some point, they've got that political message. Yeah.
Well, George Bush was in power when the Twin Towers came down.
Yeah. He was already in power, and then he won again.
I'm trying to figure out.
It was Gore?
It was Al Gore, because Mitt Romney was next after with...
Romney was against Barack.
Barack Obama. So just going back, because I was also thinking about... Because the other thing I wrote about was the GFC and the effects from the housing market and all that, and how that just freaking upset the whole entire world economy. Yeah. So there's another form of, you know, constructivist thought. That's our philosophy learning for today. So we're getting to the end of this podcast, because I know you're going to be busy very shortly, Jake. So,
got to have a wank.
Yeah, you got to have a tactical wank. Yeah, a tactical wank. But are there any final thoughts that we want to share about South Park? Or
Well, as I mentioned to you guys earlier, like, how weird is it? Like, if that movie came out now...
Yep.
It's still completely relevant. Even the fact that Conan O'Brien is on the TV show and the movie, and he's still on TV now. Everything is so close and arguing about language. So I think that's one of the also reasons why I chose that movie, because it is so close to what we're all dealing with at the moment.
Yeah, it's so close. I think it's still relevant today. I just think the swear words sort of argument, it would be all about political correctness and those sort of like terms of use of words and what you can call people, and can you actually abuse like Islam and all these sort of ideologies that are inflicting, you know, trouble in Europe and stuff. So
I think South Park, you know, that's what it does best, is just exposing these kind of long running core hypocrisies in sort of American culture, especially.
Well, it's a satire, you know, like
It takes a subject, tackles it with a satirical manner that you can understand and also find humor in, which helps you understand more and want to learn more about that subject.
Actually, I saw a really good criticism of the show the other day. Probably the only a criticism, I know, but someone's actually attacking it for being too centralist, the actual TV show.
It's not picking a side.
It's not picking a side. Yeah, I pointed out the jock the other day, like Trey Parker and Matt Stone, like they're actually a little bit more right wing than people actually like to believe. Yeah. Like they're not actually entirely left wing, but I know a lot of my friends whose politics would probably swing more towards the left seem to gravitate more to the South Park. So
yeah, it was say like I kind of prefer that sort of central, don't like. Oh. Here's the point of this party. Here's the point of this party.
Yeah.
And it's your choice. I'm a TV show. I'm not going to tell you what to do. I'm just going to show you this situation. And that's the problem with a lot of media and television has nowadays, because they'll tell you, this is my thought. A lot of like American TV shows, unless you're counting Roseanne at the moment, are not.
Is that back?
Yes.
Shit.
She's pro-Trump. This is where I'm going with it. Like the character's pro-Trump. And you look at every other TV show and stuff that's, like a lot of by leftist people in the media and stuff, it's all anti, you know, it's all anti Trump. But that's one of the things I can't stand in watching television and media nowadays is that everyone has an opinion. sometimes I don't want an opinion. I want the facts. Yeah, and then I'll make up my own mind.
Yep.
Or I'll just forget about it.
Yeah.
And that's the thing that I enjoy about South Park.
Just talking about media, do you think there's any media out there that is actually central, as in news? No. Like, ABC? Or?
No, everything has a bias of some kind.
Yeah.
It's the same thing, like if you...
But do you think a way to alleviate that bias would be to actually have these stations and networks actually state their bias, or...
I think it would help.
Mm.
At least then the public knows, like, who they're, like, getting their news from. Like, do you know much? Have you heard much about the Sinclair Broadcasting scandal?
Could you just refresh my mind? So.
Okay, so basically, Sinclair Broadcasting is an organization, like a television station studio,
yep.
that own like 34 different news stations around America.
Yep.
So what they did, they released a statement that all newscasters had to read, which was basically saying that a lot of news today coming from different sources, and this is the one you need to trust, which is weird coming from one massive unit, like, entity to 34 different other news studios who then, like, if you look up on YouTube, they say the exact same thing. It's all, like... Sinclair Broadcasting.
Yeah, okay. I'll look into it. Yeah, that's good because I should know about this because I study journalism. But
I'll show you as soon as this podcast
ends.
Yeah,
cool.
There was a John Oliver video.
Yes,
yeah. Yeah. Sinclair. I'll watch that.
Man, you guys know more. Why aren't you guys the fucking journalists?
You watch John Oliver, don't you?
No, I don't.
You are get missing out.
No, I don't actually watch. I just watch news these days. So, but
you need comedy news. It's where it's like John Stewart, but for the new generation, for the millennial in you.
Yeah. I don't know. I've got a sort of a personal bias with sort of comedy news for whatever reason. Like, I think there's a part of me that's like, that's too simple. Like, I want something with a bit more meat, you know, so...
You want naked news, don't you? That's what you want.
Whatever happened to naked news?
I don't know. This is the second podcast I've been on where I've mentioned naked news.
Did you mention on the Bearded Geeks?
Yes, I did. Cool. He's like, oh, that's a dated reference.
Actually, I should give a reference. I've only just started listening to the Bearded Geeks podcast, so...
Bunch of legends. Definitely have me on again.
You know. Subscribe to them and give them some likes, and maybe they'll kick us back if they, you know, get a hold of us. Anyhow, we should just wrap this up. And so on this podcast, Jake, we've got actually two scoring systems. We've got an academic one, and we've got like just a purely enjoyment one. So I don't know when you went to uni if you had the same academic criteria, but we've got pass, credit, distinction, and high distinction.
Oh, yes. P's get degrees.
Yeah, P's get degrees. So... I think for me, I will actually give this movie, I'm going to give it, I'll give it a high distinction, I reckon, on sort of the political sort of, narrative that runs through it. For its time, it was quite, you know, in your face. It was intriguing. It pushed me in. Mm-hmm. It was rather coherent, you know, story to it as well. So, and really sort of opens up questions and discussion, perfect for this podcast about freedom of speech, comedy, and all those things. And on purely generation, on purely an enjoyment level, I'll give it 4 stars. I think 5, I did find some of the music in between the movie sort of dragged along for me this time, and the movie has aged slightly on an entertainment sort of scale, but still, it's a must-watch film in my book, so...
I would probably give it like a mid to low distinction overall.
Yep.
Maybe a credit on general entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, for its effect on sort of culture and, you know, its commentary on culture and everything, probably a, you know, high distinction.
Mm-hmm.
Sort of.
A high distinction and entertainment value? Like.
Yeah, entertainment value, credit.
Credit. Now we do the star system for entertainment, remember?
The star system.
Have you been having Prozac?
I can't remember all these systems, man.
We're an academic we're an academic podcast, damn it. And Jake, our special guest, the final word?
I think like for political and stuff, a distinction. I think it has a strong message. It's still relevant today.
Mm.
And entertainment-wise, the, you know, 4 stars, 2 thumbs up, it's entertaining, the songs get stuck in your head. You'll have a good time and you'll learn what the clitoris is.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We didn't touch on the clitoris.
I did. No, okay. No man has ever touched
now,
the clitoris.
Now, just before we wrap this up and I do the last plugs for the evening, I just want to say, when I watched this movie for the first time, I was quite young. Yeah. I had no fucking idea what a clitoris was.
No, and when they showed it in the movie, it looks like a scoop of ice cream. Yeah. And that's the weirdest thing. I'm like, oh, yeah, I love the clitoris. I've been loving the clitoris for years, apparently.
I remember a time in my life where I didn't, like, know much about female anatomy. So a clitoris... Yeah.
It probably looked like a scoop of ice cream because you're supposed to lick it.
Yeah, yeah.
It's genius. That like, women, bomb. South Park has been helping you out for years. Yes. Thank them now.
Yeah, and there you go, folks. Anyhow, I just want to do some plugs. So please find the Patreon page. Not the Patriot page. Jeez, we don't want them too confused. The Patreon page, you know, just give us a little bit of money and we'll shout your name on the podcast. And later on, when me and Jock really knuckle down on the sort of bureaucracy of this podcast, we'll look at doing more incentives. You can follow us on Twitter at Philosophy Pop. So don't get confused, Philosophy Pop. It was the only Twitter handle not taken. And you can also send us an email at the popphilosophypodcast@gmail.com. And you can write us a letter and talk about the movies we've discussed and we'll read them out aloud on the podcast. And what about you, Jake?
If you found me hilarious, you can like my Facebook page, Jake Bayless. You can also like my comedian page, Jake Bayless Comedian. You can find me on Instagram at The Bayless. And you can also find me on Tinder if you're a single woman.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's over the age of 18.
I think you can find all of us on Tinder.
Yeah, look for me. Look for me.
Yeah, yeah. And thank you very much. That was a great episode, guys.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
Thanks, guys.